Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the best of the Lions.
Oh, baby, how beautiful is that?
A weekly mix of 97.1, the Ticket's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Game week is here. Playoff game week. Joined by the Lions head coach, Dan Campbell. Good morning, coach.
Good morning. How are you doing?
Good. Talk to us about last week and the feeling of not having to prepare for a game and what that was like.
Well, I mean, it was good to get a minute to take a breath, and I've said this really all along. It was the big thing is it's one less game to get to where your ultimate goal is, and that's really what the bye does. Certainly, to be able to heal up a little bit, but look, there's plenty of teams that don't get a bye, and you're rolling into the next week. So we would have done whatever we needed to do to be prepared for the next playoff game, but. But it's good to be sitting where we're at.
How did you handle the bye week, the time off? And I know everybody, hey, you can watch film at home. You could do everything remotely. But managing time with family, trying to just give yourself a mental break, but also knowing that, hey, every week is do or die. How did you handle the time yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I did a little bit of both. I did. I had my stuff with me, but I didn't come in the office. I stayed at home. And so I was able to do that, which was important. That was good. It was good to be able to do it. I think the hard thing, it's good. You get a little time, but as far as preparing and, all right, man, here we go. It's do or die. We still didn't even know who we had, and so you'll drive yourself crazy going, all right, I'm going to watch Green Bay now. Okay, now I'm going to shift the gears back to Minnesota. Okay, now I'm going to go to Washington. You start trying to go through all these different opponents you could possibly have, the Rams, it's just not worth it. And so I just worried more about us and looking at us and a snapshot of what we're doing well, not doing well over the last, call it 2 months.
Dan, how did last year's playoff experience, how does that shape the locker room for these moments now ahead?
Well, I just think we're more experienced. The vast majority of our group, the core of our group now, have been through it and been through it together. And so we know what that experience is. You're a young, hungry, eyes wide open group, but they were very mature, handled it well last year. And so now we know what that is, and you don't lose the hunger, you just gain some experience. And so now we know what's coming in here to face us, a team that hadn't been in this position in a long time. They got their culture moving in the right direction. That's exciting, and man, they're looking for the next win, So we know we got a very good opponent in here that's going to be hungry, but the good news is we're an experienced team that's hungry as hell, too.
So when David Montgomery went down, Jahmyr Gibbs stepped up in a big way, as did the entire team, which is something that has been a signature for this entire team. Somebody goes down, somebody else steps up, and it's not just one individual. But now that David Montgomery is back and available, how do you handle, before he went down, it seemed like it was almost 50-50 in terms of carries and touches. Now that he's back, is he the guy that gets the first carry? Who's going to handle short yardage? How are you managing having him available with the fact that Jahmyr Gibbs has been such a weapon, not just all year, but in the last three games?
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, we'll have our walkthrough today, and really tomorrow will be our real heavy lifting practice, tomorrow and then Friday. And so I think the first thing is, you know, we know he's ready to come back. We know that he's looked good in his rehabilitation, all those things. Let's see him with bodies around, full speed. We need to get a true gauge of just where he's at, how far back is he, get his confidence back and moving and all that with the bodies around him. And then we can kind of gauge, okay, man, this is where David's at. He looks great, feels great, he's confident. All right, and this is what we're going to use him for. So I hate to just say this is how much we're going to use him right out of the gate without even have gone through practice. But I do know this, though, provided that there are no setbacks, there's a place in this game for him. There is definitely a place in this game for Dave Montgomery.
Talking to Lions head coach Dan Campbell ahead of playoff matchup with the Commanders. Let's talk about them. They're a team that likes to go for it on fourth down. They're very good at it. What's that like for you? Normally, you're the one doing that to other coaches. Now they're going to throw that back in on your plate.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, Minnesota went for it last week. I kind of expected them to, you know. So I don't think it's anything abnormal. You know, we'll be prepared for it. I think Dan's done a good job out there with that crew. You know, they put themselves in third and fourth and manageable as much as possible. We're going to assume they're in four downs. They do a good job possessing the ball and really taking away as many possessions from the opponent's offense as they can. So we know what we're getting ready to face, but I mean, this is, I know it seems like, oh God, man, this team, you know, they do go for the fourth a lot. But that's not abnormal for us. AG, our defensive staff, our defensive players will be prepared for this. And it still comes down to executing on each down.
We didn't get a chance to talk to you last week, so I would like to talk about that final game against Minnesota briefly, just in terms of Alex Anzalone. Where was his biggest impact? We saw what he did against Hockenson. We saw what he was, you know, the same linebacker that he was prior to the injury. But where did you see the biggest impact of having Alex Anzalone back on the field?
It's funny because when you just asked me that, I said I would rather, you know, probably the easiest answer is where did he not impact the game? Maybe there's one of those somewhere, and I don't know where that's at. I mean, he impacted the game in multiple areas, multiple ways. I've said it before, he's a productive player. He's smart. Guy's headsy, man. He understands ball. He understands our defense. He watches a lot of tape. And he's one of our captains, man. And so when you get that three layers of a player back, man, it has a huge impact. And so I just think, man, him really getting everything set up, the chess pieces, all of that for us. But then just his hustle and hit, man. His hustle, hit, his cover ability. Look, you asked for one, I'm going to give you cover ability. Mm-hmm. All right, that was probably the biggest impact, but there was more than just that. It's great to have him back.
Jaden Daniels, I know you were asked about him yesterday, and the question was stopping a mobile quarterback, and you said, well, who does it well, right? I mean, they're a problem for everybody. People have said he's not playing like a rookie anymore. Like, when you see him, what do you see on the other side?
Yeah, I just think he's composed, you know. He doesn't get frazzled. He sits back there. You can see him. He knows where to go with the football. They've done a good job with the system. You know, there's enough of this progression / RPO. They've got a run game that isn't just, inside zone read run. I mean, there's a little bit of gap involved with it, so that helps him. You know, they do a good job of alleviating some pressure off of him and letting him play fast and play pretty clean. So I just think, you know, he never really looks like he doesn't know where to go with the football. And then he's got pocket presence, so if it's not there, he can kind of find his way in the pocket, feel it, and then he'll take off running. You know, if you give him a rush lane and it's clean and it's open and unabated, he's gone, man. He's gone, and he's got speed and he's shifty. You know, he throws a good deep ball. He's playing at a high level for a rookie. You know, and I think that's the biggest thing. He just doesn't get frazzled.
Is there any difference, and the simple answer maybe no, but is there any difference in building a game plan in all three phases for a playoff game versus a regular season game? Regular season, maybe you're saving something for a different opponent, but in this one, it's, hey, if it's a loss, season's done. Is there any difference in constructing a game plan for a playoff game than a regular season game?
No, not really for us. I mean, there could be every once in a while. Maybe you're saving something for an opponent down the road. Those will come in every once in a while. But honestly, since I've been here, this has been about you find a way to win each game. And I don't care if it's regular season or if it's the playoffs. And that's what it's about, is finding a way using all three of your units to come away with one more point than the opponent. And so nothing's off the table. It's going to take all three phases, and we're willing to do whatever it takes. And that's important because we've really been in this for a while. You do whatever it takes to win the football game. And so everything's on the table right now.
Road to the Super Bowl goes through Detroit. What does it mean to you to have these home playoff games in front of these fans on Saturday night?
Well, one of the things that, you know, and I said this last year, and you know, I talked to Coach Payton after last year's loss. You know, just a number of things. But one thing that I knew that was going to be important was trying to make this thing run through Detroit and for all of us. You know, because we've got a unique fan base. This is a unique area. And it really is a home field advantage for us, man. We got the whole area behind us, the whole city behind us, that whole stadium. And that really is like our 12th man. So, and that only helps you. It's not going to hurt you. It only helps you. So that was important, and we were able to do that this year.
It's Lions head coach Dan Campbell. We're ready for Saturday night. Appreciate your time.
Good luck, Dan.
Okay, thanks, guys. Take care.
It's Lions head coach Dan Campbell, 97.1.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
All right, you found something that could impact us here in Detroit. That who is this reporter?
So Albert Breer, familiar with his work?
Yep.
He said Mike McCarthy changed agents, hiring Don Yee ahead of his hiring cycle, knowing a complicated situation was ahead, and it's been complicated for sure. So the Cowboys move forward, and so does McCarthy. There have been rumblings he could land in New Orleans for weeks now. Mm. So this has been talked about for weeks, according to Albert Breer, that if he becomes available, that New Orleans would be in the mix and that they'd want to hire him. Now, why does this affect the Lions? Well, because Aaron Glenn is rumored to be interested in the job in New Orleans, along with the Jets and some others that he's interviewed with. But it would make sense because he used to coach in New Orleans. So if this takes away a job for Aaron Glenn, okay. You know, I want Aaron Glenn to stay
Dude,
with the Lions.
I feel
even
so guilty doing
right,
this.
Exactly.
Because let's do our best to undermine our guys' chances to improve their lives.
I mean, it's, of course, we're being very selfish as fans right now in doing this. But just looking at it realistically, does this shut that door that may be open for Aaron Glenn? It might, if there's real interest. We don't know. This is just what Albert Breer has said. Again, there have been rumblings he could land in New Orleans for weeks now, is what he said about Mike McCarthy.
So McCarthy to the Raiders or McCarthy to New Orleans works for us. Now, Aaron Glenn played in Dallas, though, right? So he is. Does Jerry favor bringing back a former Cowboy?
Well, if I were Jerry, I wouldn't be looking for a defensive-minded coach when your offense scored 20 points a game and you've got weapons to work with. You'd kind of want to do so. Now, a lot of that probably because Dak got hurt and there goes your season, I guess. But I would think you'd want to have an offensive-minded guy. And as Kane points out, is Jerry, if the clock's ticking on Jerry to win a championship, does he want to take a chance on somebody that doesn't have head coaching experience?
No. No, he does not. I can say with 100% degree of certainty.
That being said, it's often that when you have head coach openings come, that they go the opposite direction they just went. So they just went with an offensive-minded coach with a ton of head coaching experience. Does that mean they'd go back and do the same thing, or would they try something different, which would be a defensive-minded coach with no head coaching experience, which would be Aaron Glenn?
You got me going in circles, Scott.
I know. I'd like to confuse a cat.
I'm confused.
And you like the word cat. Like you I think you use that occasionally.
Look, if he buys that hat, he can.
Right?
He can,
oh, yeah. You'd be saying cat a lot.
He'd be a hep cat.
Yeah.
Cool cat.
Cool cat.
Will I?
You get street cred right away.
I don't even want to wear hats because it'll cover up my hair plugs from Turkey.
Well, until they grow in, you need something to cover your head, man.
And they're not plugs.
Right.
It's your own hair.
That's right. Whatever it is.
Engineered to grow. They just, you know, put it in a different spot.
Jerry Jones is a wild card, though. I mean, I think personally he'll go with an experienced coach because he just wants someone he can trust to win now. Then go with, you know, I mean, going with a young guy that's never done it before. I don't know if he wants to experiment with that. I think that's one of the reasons why he kind of wanted McCarthy back when everyone was saying, like, hey, they got to move on. But he's like, no, he's a pretty good coach. I think we could. And they didn't come to a contract, you know, terms or whatever. But, yeah, and it feels terrible trying to eliminate jobs for Aaron Glenn. Because I think Aaron Glenn, he really wants to be a head coach.
I know, and I just, you know, it would be so much easier to say, like, if we could fast forward and find out that the Lions win the Super Bowl. They do? Okay. Take whatever you want, you know? But if they don't, then you'd want to have the band together and keep going.
Yeah, and I feel like we're doing our guy dirty, but you know what I like to say? If I don't speak on my own behalf, who will?
That's right.
And so trying to recruit anybody to New Orleans.
Well, let's give these teams a reason to drag out their interview processes by continuing to win.
Well, yeah.
Or force them into a situation. We got to hire somebody because we can't afford to wait for these guys. We got to hire somebody now. And then they go ahead and hire somebody else.
Okay, people are asking. Someone asked for the link to the hat. It is on, New Era's website.
Yes, I believe so.
I just went to the line.
Oh, I'm sorry, no,
lines.com.
Yeah,
and then you just go to the shop tab and you can click on hats. Yeah, it's pretty easy. DetroitLines.com.
But it is a New Era hat.
It is a New Era hat. Yes.
I saw a headline here from the Palm Beach Post that, you know, I don't know if it has anything to do with anything. I'm just reading the headline. Miami Dolphins need a backup quarterback here. Five NFL draft prospects they should target. I guess a backup quarterback, huh? You say backup. 248-539-9797. Phone calls, feedback, Carson Anderson, 97.1. Lions fans, are you chesty or are you nervous going into this game on Sunday night? Lions installed as an 8.5-point favorite for this game with the Washington Commanders, team that was pretty damn impressive. Pretty damn impressive in that win to go on the road with a rookie quarterback. He is scary. And quite frankly, it would take a very special performance from him to beat Detroit. But right now, he has shown over and over that no stage appears to be too big for Jaden Daniels. We'll find out. Lions fans can impact this game by doing what they do, which is making this one of the toughest plays to play in the NFL. I wonder how long we take that from until we take that from Seattle. Doesn't it feel like Seattle gets all the fan love, 12th man stuff? They are out of it. But yes. Can we possibly take that?
Yeah, can. Gotta be allowed. You gotta earn it, killer.
That'll be Saturday night at Ford Field. We'll preview it all week long. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket.
Kenny really enjoyed the Wings loss to the Sharks last night. That was tremendous. Sorry. I'm sorry. Now listen, Odyssey.com Rewind, you missed anything. We just gave you the Ben Johnson news. I wanted to ask this question. I talked to two friends of mine about the Lions game. And, you know, hey, how you watching it? You know, you got a party to go to, you're having people over the house, and they're like, no, I'm watching alone. Like, excuse me? They're like, this is too big of a game. I cannot watch games like this in a social setting, watching it alone. So we then talked to Kenny, our resident barfly, a very social man, a guy who likes to be out and about. That's fun Kenny when he does his hair. Like, Kenny, how you watching the game? Alone, hunkered down, game too important. And let's face it, Kenny wants personal cheesy bread. So look, I wanted to ask this question to you guys as Lions fans. It is a Saturday night divisional round, 8 p.m. kick. Like, this is primo party mode where you would have a house full of people. But what I'm getting so far from three of the bigger Lion fans in my life is the exact opposite. Solitude, seclusion, quiet. Game's too big to be doing small talk. Mm-hmm. So I would like to know. And listen, I don't think there's a wrong way. I think you can do whatever you want to do. But there's part of me that looks at it and goes, next weekend would be the alone. A lifetime of emotion and frustration and waiting. That NFC title game, no, I'd be very careful who I'd watch that game with as a Lions fan. This week is a 10-point favorite at home on Big Ten Saturday night. Don't you get together with a few people?
No.
See, okay, so you're the solo viewing as well.
You do. You know why? Because this is anxiety viewing. This is, I don't care what Vegas says, you just want to win by one. And if things go sideways, you don't want gloom and like a Jeff Rieger type, like watching the game with
no
you.
No one could watch a game with Rieger. I don't think it's possible.
I had to.
When? And what did you do to deserve that?
We had to do the Lions. We were doing the pregame show out at B-Dubs. But before that, we actually did the show. You were gone. And the MSU game was on during the time. So Rieger was just like, oh, baby, look at that. Oh,
you know what you should
Western
have done?
Michigan just scored again. I'm like, Rieger, seriously.
You should have told him you had to go to the bathroom, except you left. And you went and sat in your car and watched it on your iPad.
You don't want that person. It's very stressful because you know your team is supposed to win, but it's the anxiety until they do win. Mm-hmm. You don't want to talk to them. Or if you do, you want to be around a select group of people who know to shut the hell up and just sit there quietly and not, you know, you don't want, like I said, guy who just always gloom and doom guy. You don't mm-hmm. want to be around pacer guy who just walks back and forth in front of the TV set. You don't want any of that.
You don't want to watch the game with shoot the puck guy.
Right. Right. So that's where I can easily see. No. And for playoffs, every game counts.
A regular season on a Saturday night, guys. Listen, I want to know. And again, no one is wrong. I was surprised. Kenny is clingy. He needs to be around people. He doesn't like being alone. Kenny is a party guy. For Kenny to be watching it alone, that was something. A couple buddies I talked to, it was surprising. You know, they're social people, and they're big Lions people. And it was like, no, you know what? Opting out of it. Had an opportunity to go watch it. X, not doing it. Watching it alone. 248-539-9797. Now, Kenny, if anything, I know the one thing I said you won't argue is you wanted personal cheesy bread. Everything else, yes. If you think I took a cheap shot at you, you're welcome to. But you're going to be alone for this.
Yeah, more than likely we'll be alone. And the way I look at it is, like, look at all the Monday night football games the Lions had, or the primetime games in the regular season. For those games, yes, those are games where I'm going to watch with buddies at a bar, group of friends, whatever it is, party.
Means nothing.
We'll do all that because it's still a big game. and it's prime time, so it's obviously magnitudes higher, but it's not a playoff game. For these playoff games, I need to lock in. I need to hunker down. I don't want to be around your kids. I don't want to be around your, you know,
well,
drunk
let me,
friends.
Well, let me say this. If you're throwing a viewing party for a Lions game, that has to be kid-free.
Yes.
The person, the people
agree.
With the kids can't host that party.
Well, Mike, but there's my kids are so well-behaved.
Should have wore a condom. You cannot have kids at a viewing party. Now, if it is going to be where every couple has kids and all the kids are going to be there,
run.
Then that is, I would never attend it.
Run.
Four hills. But no, I'm being serious. Like, this game is too important.
Are those kids out here in the background? Yes, I'm staying
home. I'm out. I do that to people sometimes, and again, they're friends. I wouldn't do this to a stranger, but I got a couple of buddies who have like 17 kids like David, and it's like, listen, do me a favor. When the kids go to sleep or you slip them a Benadryl, call me back. I can't do this. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like a circus, and I'm like, I can't have an adult conversation with you. Call me back later, will you please? You got kids swinging from the ceiling.
Or the proverbial, they're in the conversation with you, and then they just stop. Would you put that down and leave your brother alone?
Yeah.
So anyway, Mike.
Or hey, you know, so-and-so wants to say, oh, hi, Mr. Mike. Yeah, hello. Go away.
Let me
I want
tell
to talk
you
to your
did.
Dad, will you please?
Yeah, let me tell you what we did yesterday for recess.
Mr. Mike doesn't care.
You would love my kids then. My four-year-old doesn't want to talk to anybody, so he won't come to you at all.
Perfect. Go ahead, David. Party, or are you watching this thing alone?
See, if it's my team, I have to watch it alone. I can't be with other people. I want to yell. I want to say certain things. I want to actually critique the actual football game. I don't need a conversation. I don't need a side conversation about that something that's not about football. Let's talk about the – I don't know. Leave me alone. I need to be alone, period.
Especially – and look, we all hope that the Lions win, but my goodness, if they're down in the third quarter – do you really want to be sitting there in a room full of people?
Correct.
No.
Correct.
You don't.
Okay.
And I just got another. Already high enough. All you need is that one. See, I told you. Same old Lions. I don't need to hear
now,
this.
Oh, see, that guy should get punched in the face. I hate the same old Lions people. How can you say that about this team, this franchise? I hate those people.
Because they see an opportunity this Saturday.
And you know what their opportunity should be? For you to back your car over them.
And that's also what you don't want to be around them is the uneducated Lions fans, the new Lions fans, the people who don't really know that much about football. They're just there for a party. Those are the people that really can ruin your viewing experience, you too.
Hey, I went to the game at Ford Field. I didn't see this yellow line on the field. Why do I see it on the TV all the time?
Oh, my.
Or just Johnny sports fan with a big, dumb opinion that you don't want to be listening to right now. You just want to be locked into the action.
So, Lions game. It's Saturday night, not Sunday. That is a game changer socially. I just wanted to know, what is the plan, the viewing plan for this? Because I just got a text from another buddy, third friend. Now I'm alone. He goes, I am not doing it.
Yeah.
He's even sequestering himself from his wife and kids. He's going to watch it in the basement. His game's too big. He's too nervous.
Because, I think last year it was okay to have parties because there was no expectation. It was okay. We just want to win a playoff game. They won a playoff game. It was fun. Now, when the expectations kick in, it's anxiety.
Well, that's so weird. I mean, isn't this double-digit disco town? What are people weird about? What are people so scared about?
Bruh, like I said, all I know is last year.
58-2.
Last year, Mike.
76-3.
Yeah. You were on the few people who I took a phone call for. And you want to know why? Because you respected me enough not to call me.
That's right.
But I would take your call, and I think we talked at halftime.
Yep.
And I'm just like, Mike, I don't know what to do. Because I remember, I think the Niners were an 8.5 or 9-point favorite over the Packers, and we're losing the entire game.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah, and you know if I call you, it's not trolley. I don't have the energy or desire for that type of stuff. It's to talk ball.
Right.
Or be like, hey, you good.
But other than that, there's a lot of people. They call, no. Text, no.
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 That's cute. That's funny.
I want to hear from the people. Let's get into it. And I don't think there's anyone wrong for doing it. I was just surprised. Because to me, you're a 9.5-point favorite. Everyone's confidence has bordered on like irrational. Like you're playing the Washington Generals. And I figured, all right, it's party time. I thought Kenny be at a bar holding court. A couple of friends of mine have very nice setups, entertainment-oriented people. Like they would be hosting a party.
Nope.
Nothing.
I think the last party that you hosted was probably the Lions-Vikings game.
There's no scenario I would be at a party for the NFC title game as a Lions fan.
Or Super Bowl.
Super Bowl's tough.
Mm-mm.
I don't know, man.
If the Lions make the Super Bowl, that's going to be a tough call for some folks.
You can't do it.
It will be a tough call.
The NFC title game's too personal for too many people, and it's okay to be alone for that. Or just like immediate family, fathers and sons or brothers, like people who you've been through the stuff with, I get.
The Super Bowl is know the closest party, and if at halftime your team is winning, let's go.
Yeah, the problem is then if they lose the lead, you're the guy in the commercial who with his famous charred duck, and he's at an Oregon tailgate.
High tide.
Yeah, high tide. You do not want to show up, and then everyone blames you that the team blew the lead.
Yeah.
248-539-9797. We will get with the people next. 97.1.
Reminder, tomorrow is your shot to win Lions playoff tickets with us. Pair of tickets, Saturday night, Lions Commanders. It's courtesy of Bud Light. You got to be listening tomorrow. We'll tell you how to win, but it's a, come on now. These tickets are a hot commodity. We're excited to give them to somebody.
It's pretty awesome. There's no question. If you get a chance to go to this game, we talked about the cost of them yesterday. You can go for free.
Yeah. Probably a value of, I don't know exactly where the seats are, but for two of them?
Yeah. I mean, the
could be $2,000 in value.
Oh, yeah. Could be. Could be more. Could be a little bit less, but yeah.
Give or take, right around there. Yeah, anyway. It's good stuff. We have a bunch to do today. We have some ticket texters reacting to the two grand slam. Proud of the job. We've not had great contestants lately. Andrew stepped in there and held his own.
The best of the bunch to start the season.
For sure.
And we also have some stuff to get into in the 8 o'clock hour, including Naked Heather Park. You have a story to share. We'll get to that after we talk a little bit about the Lions.
I'm so looking forward to this discussion. So uncomfortable.
It really
is. I bet you are, John.
So uncomfortable. Really,
I don't think you should say you're looking forward to the conversation.
Well, it's the uncomfortable nature and just to hear the situation and to hear it out loud.
Story time. 8:02. We'll see how this goes. We're going to get to this Jared Goff conversation too, John. I've been saying disrespect from the national media. Why don't we play the audio for people so we understand we're all on the same page? This is from FS1's Breakfast Ball. This is Danny Parkins talking about Jared Goff and Jaden Daniels ahead of the matchup this week.
Some qualifiers in there.
Right, but even at the point, would you trade Jared Goff for Jaden Daniels? You paused.
That's a long pause. I am pausing.
Dramatic pause.
It's not disrespect. This year, next year, I'd take Jared Goff.
Right.
I think Jared Goff is legitimately in the MVP conversation.
Okay.
I don't think Jaden Daniels is.
So why pause?
If you are, when he talks about if you're starting an organization with a quarterback, would you rather start with a guy that is in year one, produced 12 wins, and has the skill set of Jaden Daniels versus a guy, what year is Goff in? Year 8, 9?
He's established, yeah.
Right, yeah. And so if you're looking at the long view, and a guy that could be your quarterback for the next 15-plus years, I don't think Jared Goff is playing for... Does he play for another 10 years? Is the starting quarterback here for how long?
I mean, Dan Campbell said he's just getting into his prime.
Right, and I agree with that.
And for a quarterback, you can play into your late 30s. We see it with pretty regularity at this point. Right.
So, okay, another 8, 9 years of really good football.
Yes.
And so If you're looking down the road, which nobody wants to look that far down the road, there's an argument to be made regarding this year, next year, the Super Bowl window for the Detroit Lions. The clear answer is Jared Goff.
Right. So I don't know what he's really getting at here. I understand propping up Jaden Daniels. I mean, what he has done in his rookie season should be highlighted, right? I mean, it's okay to give him credit, but I think we go a little far when we say he's better than Jared Goff. If you want to say, hey, I could see a world 6 years from now.
Right.
But that's not the world we're currently occupying.
That's why I mentioned it when he comes out of that audio, there's a lot of qualifiers in there. If you're starting an organization, would you rather have a quarterback in year one with the potential of Jaden Daniels or Jared Goff.
Okay, counterpoint. Even as someone who was once on this side of the aisle.
I think I surprised you a little bit with my answer.
I did. I'm like, what the hell is this guy doing here? Just say Goff's better. Why are we even fighting
Goff is
about
better
it?
Right now.
Yeah. The very first words out of this clip are, Jaden Daniels is better than Jared Goff. And then he tries to make the case. Jared Goff, in a lot of ways, was part of a startup organization. When he got to Detroit, they had traded away a franchise quarterback. They had the worst defense in team history. The coach took over. They didn't win their first game until December. He very much started, we could say, like from ground zero.
Right. One of the worst rosters in NFL history.
And are we not pleased with how that's gone? Like, the idea here is, well, I wouldn't want to put Jared Goff on a bad roster because, what, 3 or 4 years later, you'd be chasing a Super Bowl? Like, I'm not really sure that Danny Parkins is making the point he wants to make here. If you want to just say Daniels has more tools, he's faster, he's more mobile, you like his arm strength, like, fine, make the traits argument. But I think Goff has shown, and he's shown me specifically, that there is more to football than just the traits. I think Justin Herbert's a great example of a traits quarterback. Goff is a winning quarterback, and by that I mean he's got enough arm strength, and he's a great processor. He's anticipatory. He's composed. He's all of the things you need to be to win in the postseason. And we saw Goff win multiple playoff games a year ago. I understand Detroit's got a good football team, but at some point we have to stop holding that against Jared Goff and acknowledge, like I have, that he is a franchise quarterback.
Yes, he is. And I don't think that's the argument here. Let's go back to the Goff-Stafford trade. And we were talking at that time about new coach, new GM, worst roster in football, and the steps it was going to take. How long was it going to take to get to where the Lions wanted to get to? Now, I actually think we're a bit ahead of schedule. We're last year, for sure, in regards to making the NFC Championship game. The timeline, because of Matthew Stafford's age, didn't match up with the build that it was going to take for the Lions to get where they are.
Correct.
And so Goff fit that timeline much better. And so you're kind of talking apples and oranges here, because the Commanders, I think they're not where the Lions were, obviously, in year two of Dan Campbell, because they didn't make the playoffs. The Commanders have made the playoffs. They're somewhere in between in regards to where the Commanders franchise is going. Now, I don't know if their general manager is going to be able to draft at the same level as Detroit and Brad Holmes has. Are they going to be able to build a team around? Because every team, even though you have a franchise quarterback, and I think Washington has a franchise quarterback as well, you're going to need other weapons around them. I mean, look at Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson hasn't won a Super Bowl, and he's played with great defenses.
There's no doubt. I think the Stafford years in Detroit are a very localized example of your QB needs support. Jared Goff is also an example of your QB needs support.
Sure.
His career was resurrected in a lot of ways because of his own resilience, but because he has a great offensive line, because the run game is as good as any in football, because Amon-Ra St. Brown, as a fourth-round pick, is a two-time All-Pro receiver, right? I mean, Brad Holmes has outfitted Jared Goff with a cushy situation. I understand that. Every quarterback needs support. Every quarterback. I mean, maybe not Mahomes, but even Mahomes in the Super Bowl, when he got pressured against Tampa, there's only so much he could do when they lost that game.
Right. And part of the argument is also, you know, and when you're just talking about the rookie quarterbacks, Jaden Daniels has done more with less than Caleb Williams did with more.
Yeah. That's fair to say. Everybody was highlighting the situation that Caleb inherited.
Right.
Nobody was talking about Washington as a great destination for Jaden Daniels. That's a defensive head coach, one real wide receiver, and running backs that were kind of by committee, a shaky offensive line, and a defense that was wretched a season ago. They're still not very good, but they're a little better now with, you know, defensive head coach. We played the audio. What was your reaction to it? 248-539-9797. The idea that Jaden Daniels is better than Jared Goff. Let's get to Sean in Detroit. You're on 97.1.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good morning. It's going pretty good over here.
Thank you. I just wanted to mention that I feel like the whole Daniels and Goff shouldn't be a conversation at all, considering the fact that Daniels is a rookie. He'll be a good comparison to Caleb Williams and all the rookie quarterbacks, but I don't see Daniels, especially with Goff's numbers and what Goff has endured the past 3 years. He came to the Lions without LaPorta, without Gibbs without Knuckles and Sonic. So I don't see where, you know, Danny's argument is legitimate, because he's mentioning a bunch of points that Goff went through as well. So I also have another thing to say. Stafford left Detroit, went to the Rams, to a better team with a better offensive line and a better wide receiver core, and he won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, the NFL, football, it's a team sport. So I don't see where Danny's argument is coming from.
Well, you know, clearly this year, it's a non-argument. And there's not much to support Jaden Daniels being better. And but when he throws in there, if you were starting an organization, who would you rather start that organization with, Jaden Daniels or Jared Goff? And that is it's an answer that we don't really have a question to, because we saw C.J. Stroud last year, and the argument was it was C.J. Stroud or Jared Goff. And then in year two, it's clearly still Goff.
Yeah, when you have multiple years, like last year and this year for Jared Goff, he's in the prime of his career. I'm not getting a guy in his mid-30s. This is a guy who's got a lot of football ahead of him. It's Goff today. I'm starting a franchise today. It's Goff over Jaden Daniels. Even playing Danny Parkin's game, it's Jared Goff. Now, you guys tell us. Maybe you agree with him. The other question I want to know is, like, why does this keep happening with Jared Goff? Why doesn't Goff get more respect?
Well, and so here's what Jaden Daniels is doing. He as a rookie, it's been impressive, right? Mm-hmm. It's 12 wins.
Yeah.
It's a new coach. He doesn't have there's no, we talked about continuity of system. He's a rookie by definition. There's no continuity in the system. It's a new head coach. Yeah. There's no continuity in the system. So again, it's apples and oranges. If he is and looking into the future, if everybody wants to look into their, you know, crystal ball, Jared Goff in year three, you could say whatever reason they were there, he was the quarterback of a team that went to the Super Bowl. Does Jaden Daniels, is he able to get that done by year three?
Yeah, again, I don't know why Goff doesn't get more respect. And if you guys could help fill us in, 248-539-9797. John, the point he makes about if I'm starting a franchise today, Jared Goff has been in lousy situations numerous times in his career, and he has been a catalyst for making things better. When he got to Cal, they were a one-win team. His last year, they were 8 wins. They went to a bowl. They won that bowl game. When he got to L.A., or I guess St. Louis at the time, they were the worst team in football. They had the number one pick. Yeah, they were one of the worst teams. They went to a Super Bowl. He got to Detroit, ground zero in Detroit. 3 years they're in the NFC title game. This year, they're a Super Bowl favorite. Jared Goff, it's not like if you put him in a bad situation, the guy can't thrive. I mean, we've seen it repeatedly.
Right.
I think Daniels is more mobile. He's more athletic. He may be more physically gifted. Right now, Jared Goff is the better quarterback, because playing quarterback isn't just physical gifts. See Herbert, Justin.
Well, and here's the other thing about Jared Goff. And what we don't know about Jaden Daniels, this is kind of an argument in futility, because we don't know how much is Jaden Daniels going to improve. What's he going to do to improve the mental side of it? Because the one thing that I love about Jared Goff, and the one thing that I've always defended him about, is especially when he got to Detroit, he was willing to look at what he is doing and improve. He doesn't care about numbers or stats. If he did, he may be more in the conversation for the MVP, but the Lions might not be where they're at, because he has no problem throwing the ball away. He has no problem throwing the ball into the ground. He has no problem running and barely getting back to the line of scrimmage, because it's what matters most for the team on that in that moment. We don't know Jaden Daniels. Will he be able to learn more about the NFL game and be a quarterback that is heady in regards to being able to make decisions at the line of scrimmage, put your team in the best play possible? Jared Goff does that. I love the fact that we have an experienced, smart, veteran quarterback that, yeah, he's got a lot of weapons around him. Washington hasn't been able to do that around Jaden Daniels yet, because it is a new quarterback, a new coach. It's a new owner.
I think an overlooked attribute of quarterbacks is being able to stand in there on 3rd and 7 and get a first. Or how about that 4th down and 5? Was that against the Vikings where he was nearly about getting sacked, and he made the pass and hit the receiver in stride, and we got the first down. People fall for hype. I would say this quick, and then we get to the calls. I don't know if anybody was ever scapegoated as bad as Jared Goff by Sean McVay. And he got painted as he was blamed, right? 100% blame for why the Rams couldn't complete it. And it by changing quarterbacks out there, Sean McVay bought him time, bought himself time, right? I think we would agree that Stafford is slightly better. I think it's debatable.
So it's really tough. Like, Sean McVay did scapegoat Jared Goff, but he was also right to get Stafford because it led them to a Super Bowl. Like, both things can be true. Does that make sense?
Yes, I agree. Yeah, but when he came here, virtually nobody, everybody thought it was a throw-in because McVay painted him so far away from what he really
was. It was too extreme.
No, I think people thought Jared Goff was done as a starter. I remember him being ranked like 26th in quarterback rankings the first year he was here.
Do you remember this term? Bridge quarterback?
Yeah. And I think we all fell for it. I think fans would admit we fell for a false narrative or fake news, and that's what these outlets do, and then they create hype. And I'll just say this about, you know what? I know Jared Goff can stand in the pocket and complete that critical pass on third or fourth down. You know what? Lamar had his chance last year against the Chiefs, and he didn't.
But it's about a guy that just simply wins, right? He's not the sexy pick. He's not the flashy quarterback, and his numbers are always going to be good. Sometimes they might be great. And how many times did we talk about a quarterback with a perfect passer rating this year? It was Jared Goff, but last year the hot topic at this time of the year was C.J. Stroud. This year it's Jaden Daniels. What did C.J. Stroud do in year two?
Sophomore slump, step back.
Right.
And even before Tank Dell got hurt, even before Stephon Diggs got hurt.
I do think it'll be an interesting track to follow where Washington goes with Jaden Daniels, because when you look at the two franchises and you look at where the Lions were 3 years ago because of, and I mentioned, in Washington, what do they have going on right now? New ownership, new quarterback, new coach, and they're trying to build a roster. They're starting with a little bit more than Detroit did 4 years ago, but when the Lions started this over, what was it? New coach, new GM, new quarterback, new owner.
Yeah, I mean, it's why I disagree with the Parkins point of, if I'm starting a franchise today, well, I get a polished, proven veteran in Goff who has inherited really lousy situations at three different stops. And yes, those rosters were good by the end, but he was part of those good rosters. And I think that's the thing that people don't realize.
And part of the question is, and why it's a debate, is the great unknown. We don't know what Jaden Daniels will be in 3 years.
Right. So I think you just can't make the argument he's better right now.
Right. I think we can be confident that we know what Jared Goff will be in 3 years.
And I think there's power in that.
There's great power in that. Great confidence. NFL coaches love knowing what they have.
Before we get the phone calls, I did say I had a ranking of the remaining quarterbacks. And I don't think this is very controversial, but I'm sure people will find a flaw or fault in it.
Oh, a power surge on quarterbacks.
Yeah, but I'm going to do it in like 60 seconds. I'm not going to drag this out. Number one quarterback to me right now is Josh Allen. I have Mahomes number two. I have Lamar number three. Put Jared Goff number four. Is that okay to put Goff at number four?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I have Stafford at five ahead of Hurts at six. Stafford has been to and won a Super Bowl. So Hurts is at six. And then the final tier is the 7 and 8 spots. It's Stroud and Daniels. It's just too raw, too young. I mean, they've won a playoff game. This is not a slight to them. They're just not in the category of these other guys who have won multiple playoff games, in some cases Super Bowls, in some case, championship performances. There's my top eight. Allen, Mahomes, Lamar, Goff, Stafford, Hurts, Daniels, Stroud.
Are you chesty or are you nervous? 248-539-9797. Gator, Lions Commander Saturday night. Are you more chesty or are you more nervous?
I'm more chesty.
Okay.
I think yesterday there were some nerves, but as time has gone on, I am chesty about this. I like the Lions playing at home on Saturday night. I think that's what sealed it for me. When I heard the game was Saturday night, love it. Love, love, love it. That crowd, don't have to worry about work the next day for the most part, and it's a Saturday night game. People are going to get after it all day. They're going to be ready and primed for this game. It's going to be an incredible electric atmosphere downtown. The early weather I saw showed like temperature high in like at 30 or something like that, but it didn't look like it was supposed to be any kind of crappy weather. Of course, it'll be colder by the time the game starts and when you're getting ready to leave and walk. But hey, you get down there in the afternoon, hang out all the bars down there, wherever you want to be to do your pregame stuff and just enjoy the downtown atmosphere. It should be fantastic and absolutely electric inside. We saw what it was like for the Minnesota game, you know, playoff-like atmosphere for that one. It was as loud as I've heard, maybe even as loud as that Bears game was. This one Saturday night, it's going to be loud, and it's going to be great.
Kang, you more chesty or nervous?
I'm more chesty. This is the matchup I wanted, and I know be careful what you wish for type thing, and anyone can beat anyone in the playoffs. I agree with all that stuff. But with that being said, I'm chesty because the Commanders don't really do a good job of stopping the run. And the Lions are getting David Montgomery back. And I don't think they're just going to get him back for like a couple plays. I think, you know, they'll ease him into this rotation, maybe short yardage stuff. But with Gibbs doing what he can do by himself and now getting some rest with Montgomery coming back, I think they run the ball pretty effectively on offense. And on defense, Jaden Daniels has been spectacular this year. But this is the playoffs. Aaron Glenn's done such a good job of confusing quarterbacks in this league with experience that I give him the advantage to do the same thing against Jaden Daniels. Get him off his spot. Keep him in the pocket but off his spot. That way, you know, he makes errant throws. He takes chances and risks that he probably shouldn't at times and gets away with it. I think it might burn him this weekend with Kirby Joseph back there. I'm feeling chesty, Doug.
248-539-9797. I agree, actually. I feel pretty damn confident because the Lions' offensive performances have been so consistent. They've been so consistent. I think we know what we can count on. The Lions' defense is the best version of themselves, and they force Washington to try field goals. I think they'll win. I have no doubt that they will win. If they have problems stopping Washington in the red zone, I still think they'll win. I just think it'll be one of those games that make us damn nervous because we'll be in the fourth quarter of a 31-28 type game.
Yeah, and how much confidence does Washington have in their kicker?
That's a whole other topic that we'll probably get to tomorrow. The doink for the win is one thing. The nervous twitching with the hair beforehand.
I am so
honest
glad
to God,
you brought that
if
up.
I were a Washington Commanders fan, what? I'd be like, who's going to kick for us next week?
What the hell was that? Like, dude, put the helmet. Nope, not going to put it on. Put the helmet on. Nope, not going
to
put it on.
I'm going to fix my hair that's too short to fix. I don't even need to do this.
I'm not going
to
put it on.
So apparently he has like an OCD issue, but no. It was on clear display, yeah. Obviously, for the national audience to see. Oof. That those that don't watch Commander games, you know, for the first time. But he hasn't kicked. He's not been their full-time kicker all year. And that was a big moment. And it was a 37-yard field goal. Had it been 37 and a half yards, they would have lost the game.
Well, they would have gone overtime.
Oh, yeah, gone overtime, sorry. But, yeah.
Yeah, that was odd to see.
It made me uncomfortable. Like, I was nervous.
I was really uncomfortable. Was it Michael Penix was the guy in college that would stick his head in like, the equipment trailer or whatever it was? Because you couldn't watch the game at the end when it got nerve-wracking?
I don't remember, but... Let's get back to your phone calls. Caleb's in Detroit. Hi, Caleb.
Man, how you guys doing today?
All right, great, Caleb.
Man, I'll say I'm more testy, but I do worry about Jaden Daniels because there has been no moment that's been too big for him that we've seen so far this season. But I do think our offense is a lot better than their defense. I just feel like in the moment, he's. I would rather have played Tampa, to say the least.
You would rather have him playing Tampa? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I feel like we messed up with them better just because we struggle with the quarterbacks that are mobile. Even though our defense has been playing lights out.
Baker's mobile.
That's the main thing.
Baker's absolutely mobile. Yeah. I mean, there was no scenario where they could actually play Tampa in their first playoff game, but that doesn't mean that they wouldn't play him eventually. I mean, Baker beat Detroit. Baker and Tampa beat Detroit this year. So that's something that is just a fact, and they're out. So that's kind of nice, is that they've got that behind them. They don't have to worry about him. But he was, Baker was a problem for Detroit. And the other thing is that day the Lions were terrible in the red zone offensively.
Right.
Yeah. So. But I mean, the mobile quarterback thing, I find it to be very, very interesting because I think you can listen to sports talk in any town in the NFL and the fan base will say the same thing. Mobile quarterbacks give our defense problems.
Well, apparently, Dan Campbell speaking with the media, they were asked a similar question about that. And his response, Dan Campbell, on the perception that the Lions don't handle running quarterbacks well, his quote was, tell me who does.
Yep. That's kind of it. They give people problems. And they're look.
And that comes from Corey Woods from M Live.
Yeah. 248-539-9797. Are you're confident? You think you know what's going on here? You're very chesty about this one, or are you more nervous? Lions and Washington Commanders. So I think one of the things that people get nervous about is they get nervous about people liking the matchup. They get nervous because this matchup seems to be better for Detroit, and everybody's saying it. You know, this defense can't stop the run, and still a rookie quarterback on the road, and what's going to be a more hostile environment than what he just was. It feels like the kind of thing that will burn. You don't want to be burned by what you wanted, what you asked for.
Right, you don't, and you know it goes both ways too. The Commander fans after the game were saying, "We want Detroit. We want Detroit." Okay,
yep,
fair enough.
Guess what you've got?
You got them. I mean, it's the number one. They're the number one seed in the NFC for a reason. It's a damn good football team, man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they really are. This is a great football team. You don't win 15 games by accident. You don't. I'm so impressed with how they've been able to do it all season long, overcoming every obstacle that's thrown at them. You know, they meet it head on, find a way to get past it, and they do. And Washington is the next team on the schedule. Here we go. Okay. Are they scary? I don't think they're scary. I think the quarterback presents more challenges, and they have to address that. And so does every team when they face Washington or you face Baltimore and you've got a quarterback that's this good. What Washington doesn't have that Baltimore has or that Buffalo has is that Robin to go with the Batman in terms of somebody else in the backfield with him. Now, Austin Eckler is a very good running back, and Robinson's a good running back, but, I mean, they're not James Cook, and they're not Derrick Henry. So I'm not terribly concerned about their ability to run the football, even though this season, statistically, Washington has been able to run the football very well for 5 yards per carry, which is very good. Now, a lot of that is their quarterback. Can they keep him bottled up? I mean, nobody's going to tell Aaron Glenn how to do his job. He knows exactly what he's going to do, and I can't wait to see what his methodology is in stopping or containing Jaden Daniels. But I think suffice it to say, he'll come up with a plan.
People have sent us links to Commander fans chanting, "We want Detroit." And I don't know if we can get the sound at any point, but it reminds me back of 25 years ago. I'm watching Holy Cross beat Lehigh in the Patriot League championship game. And the Holy Cross fans start chanting, "We want Duke. We want Duke." And the game ends and they go back to the studio and John Saunders says to Dick Vitale, and the fans are chanting, "We want Duke." And Dickie V says, "Let me tell you something. You don't want Duke." And that's what I think of when I hear Commanders fans chanting, "We want Detroit." Okay. Okay.
We may have seen Kenny Cott walk out of work. He has left the studio, headphones are strewn on the floor, and he has not returned. So be patient when you call in. I'm not sure if we have a call screener. But let's get to football, shall we?
Let's do it.
Yes. Here's what I presented. Your concern level 1 to 5. Here's what they mean, TJ. You tell me what number you are. A 1 is now, not only are we not just going to win, it's going to be a blowout. No, I don't even have to watch the game. That's a 1.
You double-digit disco.
You're Costa in a sequin shirt. A 2 is, all right, look, I know we're going to win. I'm just not sure about the cover, but I know we're going to win. Might be a little more uncomfortable than I hope.
Mm-hmm.
A 3 is the first stage you can acknowledge the possibility of a loss. You still believe you're going to win, but, man, if we ain't careful. A 4 is straight up, as Rico coined it, coin flip. A 5 is delusional disco, which is we have no hope we're getting blown out.
We Iceberg can't stop a right mobile, ahead. Yeah, we can't stop a mobile QB.
There is no way I'm accepting anyone calling a 5. That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We've had one person calling it a 3, all 2s and 1s.
Mm-hmm.
You're working sidelines. What out of 1 to 5 with those parameters?
Yeah.
Yeah.
right between a 2 and a 3, probably.
Take the people through.
I do feel confident because I like the matchup. But you also understand in playoff football, you need your A game every snap, every drive, right? And we've seen this team have some B-minus, C-plus games in the season, and you still win by 10 double digits. That doesn't happen in the playoffs, right? You have one bad drive or one bad start to the half, or, you know, hey, you get a takeaway, but you don't cash it in. A lot of times that's a difference in these playoff games. I think they're going to win. I think because Dan Campbell's just got a way of galvanizing these guys, getting them ready, make sure they're focused, honestly, making them feel like they're underdogs.
Well, it's funny you said that. He's like Tampa got a stopped the Commanders last week and then turned the ball right back over and gave it to him again.
And Washington had, I think it was 35 minutes of time of possession in that game. Tampa only ran 44 plays. Their offense was moving the ball. Baker was like 15 of 18. They were running the ball. Problem is, they didn't have enough possessions. You know, Washington kept stealing possessions on some of those fourth downs. So that's the difference. But I am confident because I know what this team is about. I know what their identity is. I don't love the fact that Zeitler is not going to play. But what we saw of Mahogany a couple weeks ago, I know it was left guard, so he's going to be having to play right guard. A little bit different, but... you know, I think they can keep it rolling with him, the run game. I just don't want the coaches to outsmart themselves. You know what I mean? And I'm sure you guys have talked about it this week with the return of Montgomery. I don't want that to somehow turn into we're taking Gibbs off the field less than what he's been on the last three games, because he has been a superstar since Montgomery's been out. And I know Montgomery is still
Montgomery's a guy, right? But here's the thing. As a player, you know. When somebody gets hot, you know what? Just ride the hot hand. You didn't lose your job, but right now, he's cooking.
I just don't want – sometimes coaches outsmart themselves sometimes. I don't want to – I think if you go into this game like you did in the regular season when everybody was healthy and say 50-50 split, I kind of think that would be a mistake because I think that Jahmyr Gibbs is a superstar, and I think he needs to be on the field for 80% of the game. Now, David Montgomery, certainly there's going to be times to use him, right? If you're wearing him down late in a drive and the guy needs, Gibbs needs a break, couple big runs, of course. I just don't really want to see the, hey, you get this drive and then you get this drive and then we flip and rotate. I think it's got to be Jahmyr Gibbs' game. So if I'm Ben Johnson, hopefully that's the game plan that we're going to see tomorrow night, because the offense has just been absolutely rolling. And Jahmyr Gibbs, what, averaging 165 all-purpose yards over the last three games, I think is no mistake.
Six touchdowns.
Yeah. And I think defensively, too, I mean, Aaron Glenn's going to have to continue to be a chameleon, right? I think what he did against...
That's what I was going to ask you. What do you do with this? You can't blitz him like Darnold. You can blitz him in a different way to push the pocket, to walk him upfield, which I'm sure you hated as a lineman, where you're like, wait a minute. All these guys are doing is just trying to occupy and push us a step or two back.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to spy him. If they start spying this kid, I'll lose my mind. I hate that.
No, and they're not. I mean, Aaron Glenn has spoke on that in the past. I think he said, you know, go watch Team Spy. Let me know how it turns out for him. You know,
like he's a good old totally Madame Tussauds Wax Museum last week. Bowles, how about a double spy?
What are we doing? You're taking guys out of coverage. You're taking them out of the rush. I don't think that's the way to approach it. I do think you have to pressure this kid, though. Maybe early in the game, you test out, hey, is our D-line humming a little bit? Do they have an advantage? Because I do think Washington's offensive line is very mediocre. I think they are below average. Rookie out at left tackle, gets a little stiff. Guys on the inside, a little bit stiff. Jaden Daniels, I know he was sacked 47 times this season. Yeah.
And that's just it. But if you bring the pressure, you condense the pocket, you hit home.
Yeah.
The problem for me is he escapes that pocket, and that's where he gets dangerous, and that's where he'll extend the play and find Scary Terry deep or just take off for some 30-yard run and make you pay for it.
Yeah, right. It's a double-edged sword, man. We can bring pressure and against a rookie quarterback in that environment. Is he going to have time? You know, if we show something pre-snap and then right before the snap like they did against Minnesota, you know, where guys are starting to creep up a little bit, is he going to have time? Is he going to have the ability to communicate with these guys? I mean, watch Minnesota's offensive line when Sam Darnold was trying to check plays a couple weeks ago. They couldn't even hear each other, the guy standing next to him. You know what I mean? So do you feel confident with the rookie doing that and what's going to be even a louder environment on Saturday night? That's why if I'm Aaron Glenn, I think the pre-snap, post-snap looks – there has to be a masterful ability to disguise what you want to do defensively. Because we've talked about it a bunch with young quarterbacks that come to the league. They don't have the ability yet to see a lot of the rotation and sniff out see stances and read body language. And, okay, I know the protection's supposed to call for this, but, hey, we got to flip it, guys. We got to go the other way because we're outnumbered. Young quarterbacks, it takes a while to get that ability. And Jaden Daniels is one of those guys where I think you can get a free rusher at him. But to your point, Rico, when you do get the free rusher, you better make damn sure you bring him down. Because if he doesn't and you got three guys covering and their backs are all to the quarterback, that could be nightmare city. So I think early in the game you see, hey, let's see how Za'Darius is matching up with the right tackle. Let's see if Muhammad's getting a little rush. Let's see if, you know, Reader or these other guys are getting a little push in the pocket. If these guys are starting to create some havoc with just four man, great. I don't have to bring the pressure.
Because I don't want to see him and Anzalone in a foot race.
But if that, Jaden Daniels is fast.
Anzalone's got some Devontae David chase him down last week.
Yeah, he does.
That dude's 100, but I'm with you. You just don't want your backers in open space against them. I don't know. Yeah, I'm interested to see it because there still is an element of this, fellas. He could come here and turn into a pumpkin. He could go full Darnold. It's possible.
Yeah,
he still is a rookie. And I don't care about Epcot Center where they played last week. This is one of the most gnarly home field advantages. I do wonder, like, does he just crack?
You're going into a jungle, man. That place ain't easy to play in. I know that.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying. Either the pressure gets to him, or you know what, guys, whatever. I'm just out here having fun. You hope that it's the pressure that gets to him because, man, I'm watching him, and after the end of that game, he just looks like, God, you know what? I don't care. I'm having fun, and when it ends, it ends.
Yeah.
And you need him to be more of that, oh, my God, I'm walking into Ford Field and all of these fans – fans have to get on. Like, the Lions need to just come out, score, and get a three and out. And I think at that point, you'll see the pressure get to
him. And you got
to
treat him like Caleb Williams. You know, when Chicago came here and, man, they were like, if you don't want to get out of bounds, we're going to smack you. Like, we're going to hit the crap out of you, you know? So you're going to have to treat him like that. And anytime you do get a shot on him, get some of those body blows because it is a long season, right? Especially for rookies. I mean, he's going into what, his 19th game now? So,
last
you know,
week
gotta have a little wear and tear on that body.
He got launched last week.
Yeah, he did. He got smoked.
I went
a couple times.
What the hell was he thinking?
One where he did like the little helicopter.
Yeah, he was Elway in the Super Bowl, except he was 15 feet in the air.
Yeah, and you got to continue to be really good against the run too. If you can shut down the running backs. I mean, Washington's running backs, I think the last 5 games they've had one touchdown, averaging like 2.5 a carry.
When you watch
just the running backs,
everything for them with the running game is just giving Jaden or that line a break from pass protection or from some of the RPO stuff.
Yeah.
Their running game last week, Rico, it was 2nd and 8.
Oh, it's been terrible.
2nd and 9.
It's been terrible the last quarter of the season, I think, going back. And their one touchdown scored was like by the 3rd or 4th string guy who barely even plays. But what else that gives you a benefit is now you don't have to worry so much about the play action game. Now you don't have to really send, you know, the linebackers flying to the line of scrimmage and potentially be getting beat by Ertz over the middle or, you know, Terry McLaurin deep. You can be a little bit more disciplined in saying, hey, they want to run the ball, power to them. Let's keep them to 2-3 yards a carry. Let the defensive line do their work. Everybody else, just make sure nobody gets behind you.
I've got a question to ask TJ after the picks, and it's just your Doctor Strange theory of, like, there's only one way out. I have one question to ask you about Washington, your way of defending it or if you can, but we'll get to it after the picks. Let's do that now.